Anderson back behind his net, gave it away. Vegas has it, centering feed, and they score! Ryan Reeves takes advantage of an Ottawa miscue. 4-1 Golden Knights. Left circle, Brown dishes down low, save. Fleury going to his right, now back to his left. He makes the save on the attempted wraparound that came from Tyler Ennis. And the puck is out of the zone, and the clock runs out. The hockey game is over, and Pete DeBoer begins his Golden Knights tenure with a victory. 4-2, the final score.
You're back in the press box with Clay Baker and Ed Graney. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas and call the show 702-364-1100.
From Fox Sports Las Vegas last night on the Golden Knights radio network, Reeves with the big goal that made it 4-1 in the third period as Peter DeBoer makes his debut as head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, and victorious in that, they head to Montreal. Les Habitants facing the Canadiens on Saturday on Fox Sports Las Vegas. 4 o'clock, they drop the puck in Montreal. Tyler Bischoff is here with me, Clay Baker. We're trying to get Ed Graney live in the Great White North.
Did Ed stand us up?
You know what? I think the phone's frozen.
He's mad because somebody on Twitter said that Tyler and Clay is greater than the other combo, but then said, now that I think about it, give me one day of Ed and Jared. Should make for a good show.
That would be good.
So we need to get Ed Graney and Jared Justice doing a show together, and I think Ed is very upset by that possibility, and he's now not going to take our call.
Ring it up, sugar, sugar!
I think that's a good pairing. I mean, you rarely get chances like that. That's like chocolate and milk. You get chocolate milk. I mean, a peanut butter and jelly, Jared and Ed. That's what we need.
Ed would never come back.
Then you just call the show Jared Ed. Like, just had that hyphen, the Jared Morning Show. Ed would never come back. Ed would love it. Ed would move to Canada and renounce his citizenship,
happened. See, you can handle Jared in the quick 2 minutes that it takes for us to walk in the studio and you guys to leave the studio every day. That's a perfect amount of Jared Justice. That is it. But once you have to get more than that, it becomes a little scary.
It's the Press Box Morning Show here on ESPN Las Vegas. Live in the Findlay Toyota Studios here. And what did you make away, though, from, you know, maybe like the first goal with Stastny catching up on that one? It's like, all right, you know what? Stastny opens up the scoring, and it's 1-0 after 36 seconds. And you're like, okay, this is Ottawa.
Yeah, it was Ottawa. And
you throw anything out here.
It was Mark Stone, and it was Ottawa, because Mark Stone is excellent. Mark Stone continues to make great plays. He scored last night, also set up that assist to Paul Stastny. But probably his best play was he saved a goal from happening, because there was a backdoor pass and Marc-Andre Fleury was going to be beaten, and Stone got over in time to break up the shot, prevent it from even getting on net, and that saved a goal for the Golden Knights. And that is why Mark Stone is the highest paid player on this team, because he will be the one that gets you 2 points in a game, and he is the most likely one to break up a goal on the other end.
He's going to have his problems on, like, you know, as far as, like, you want, what did you like to think, like, how that lineup was going to work initially, though, with, you know, especially the first line when you needed to have Chandler Stephenson coming in? Did you feel like if Carlson was hurt, should they have brought in the second line up?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it matters too much what you consider the first and the second line. Like, those two are going to end up playing pretty much the same amount of minutes every game. I think with Chandler Stephenson, he is fast, and he's shown that he's capable of playing with top line players. That he's not necessarily going to be the reason the top lines are playing well, but he's not going to drag them down either, like we saw Cody Eakin do. So you can effectively trust Chandler Stephenson by putting him there and knowing, okay, the other two players on this line are going to be just fine. They're going to keep playing at the same level they've been playing at. Whereas when you put Cody Eakin there, you're asking Mark Stone to, all right, hey, make this guy better, please. Drag him along with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right. We need some enhancers to bring his play up.
When it's Chandler Stephenson, it's like, all right, he's not going to drag you down. You guys will be fine and just go out there. So that's the most important thing with Chandler Stephenson. The crazy thing with Chandler Stephenson is they gave up a fifth round pick for this guy. Right, they didn't give up anything at all, and now he's having to play first line center because A, you've got a bunch of injuries, and B, you don't actually have that many good centers on your roster at the moment.
You got Carlson a lot of centers, but you don't have a lot of good ones.
You got Carlson hurt, you got Cody Glass hurt, and you're stuck with Paul Stastny as like the only center. You'd be like, oh yeah, that guy, we know he's a good center. The rest of them, you're like, Cody Eakin, you got to call Nick Waugh from the AHL, maybe Tomasz Nosek. So that's the fun part to me, is that like, oh, Chandler Stephenson traded for a fifth round pick for him. now he's that much of an important player for you.
Now that's poaching.
Yeah.
That's that poaching is. The VGK way. And you hear this sound? That's the call of the wild. That's the flugelhorn from the Great White North in Montreal, Canada. And that's where we join Ed Graney now, live from the Finley Toyota Studios. Ed, I can't imagine what's going on there. I'm sure your French to English translation book is doing well, as you are now in the city of La Habitante. Good morning to you, and très bien.
Dude, how do you say it's freaking cold in French? It is freezing here. Oh, my goodness.
It was cold yesterday in Ottawa. How bad could it be?
Oh, no. Ottawa was Vegas in the summer compared to Montreal. It is freaking cold here. I don't know. I mean, I think Max Pacioretty has to be the happiest guy in the world that he was moved out of here.
Ed, what would you prefer? 1 hour in minus 18 degree wind chill in Montreal, or 1 hour doing a show with Jared Justice?
I'd have to take to Montreal because there's some eclectic things here. There's some nice museums, and I couldn't. The 1 hour would seem like 40, so I just can't do that. There's no way I could do that. I saw that comment on Twitter, and I was impressed with the guy until I looked at his Twitter page, and I'm like, well, okay. I'm like, okay, I can't. No further explanation.
What are good things to do in Montreal when it's 9 below wind chill?
Come to the arena, and the best thing about these challenges in these cities is, can you stay indoors and never leave, like never outside? We thought we had it this morning, but one of the doors to the Bell Center was locked, so we had to go outside for maybe 7.5 seconds to where we got into the media entrance. And so if you can do that, that's a challenge. It's not like Minnesota, where you can actually stay inside the whole way with all their walkways.
Yeah.
You actually have to go outside here, but if you can stay within a 10-second span of not being outside, you've probably won the battle.
How long was your flight to Ottawa? We had heard terms of like up to 12 hours. I heard a 5-hour layover. What was that horrific ride like?
Oh, coming here, like for the trip?
Yeah.
Oh man, it was 5.5 hours. Well, it was about 4 hours because you had the wind to Ottawa, no, to Toronto, and then we waited 5.5 hours to get to Ottawa, and then we drove today because it was only like, it's all freeway, it's completely straight, so we got from Ottawa to Montreal in almost 2 hours. It was 2 hours 10 because you have to make the stop at Tim Hortons, because if not, they like, I think you like go to jail here if you don't stop at Tim Hortons at least twice a day. So after that stop, we got here in about 2 hours. The driving was far better than the flying.
Wait, where were you where there was still a large cardboard cutout of Mark Stone?
Oh, that was great. So we were in Ottawa, and we packed so quickly. I mean, thanks for firing Gerard Gallant on a spot and then, like, getting a call and saying, get to Ottawa. It's like, not get to Arizona. They couldn't have fired this guy in Arizona. So, like, I forgot everything in my suit. Justin Emerson from The Sun, Dave Shane, like, we forgot pretty much anything you needed to come into this weather. So we found the Target of Ottawa, which is named a tire store, which makes no sense because they have tires, but it's pretty much a Target. It doesn't make any sense. So we were walking. I said, where are your gloves? Because I forgot my gloves. She's over there. And you walk up to the glove section, and there are two enormous posters, one of Stone and one of Erik Karlsson. And I looked at her, I said, you know those dudes aren't here anymore. She goes, yeah, we just keep them up. She goes, they were two of our better players. She goes, we're not very good now. So they just keep these enormous pictures up of these two guys who aren't even here anymore.
They don't. I mean, they don't have other players. There's nobody on that team that's worth putting up now. So might as well leave
them up. I mean, who would you put up? So they just. She goes, yeah, we just keep them up. They're good players. We're not very good anymore. Like, well, the honesty here at the Center Tire Store.
We're live with Ed Graney in Montreal, where tires are priority and gloves are not. Here on the Press Box Morning Show with Tyler and Clay. What were your thoughts when you first found out that William Karlsson was not even going to play, but he had an upper body injury and he's out week to week?
I thought, what was he doing on the ice at the end of the Buffalo game?
Okay.
I was like, when did this guy have an upper... It's so weird on some of these injuries in hockey. Like, they're fine at the end, and the next... I don't know if it flares up. I think someone found a gif of maybe him getting slashed, but I don't know what happened to him. The funny thing was, as you know, with the media in hockey, and also with the Golden Knights, they're so, like, paranoid about giving any information out. Like, you have to basically fall over it to realize it. But last night before the game, like, Erik Tosi, the main guy, was going through and telling all of us, now, okay, Karlsson's out with an injury, and we finally realized The only reason he's doing that is because nobody, they didn't want us to think, boy, that DeBoer guy came in and sat Carlson the first night and scratched him out of there. So, like, they wanted to make sure, no, he's hurt. He's not scratched. He has an upper body injury. And then when you see week to week, I mean, you know, around this sport, that could be like the guy's going to be back in April. I mean, I don't know when he's in. Week to week's, like, bad. Month to month is like a howler. We'll see him like a year from now. So I don't know when he's going to be back, but I don't expect him back soon because Glass was also week to week. He's still at home.
Month to month means you're not playing again and getting traded in the offseason.
Yeah, exactly. Month to month is you're not playing again and George McPhee having a heart attack when Eric Howell is running the bases at Aviator Stadium because he goes, wait a minute, I'm trading that guy. Why is he running bases?
My second round pick's going to a fifth round
pick. You're not going
to
stay on the team.
So week to week is good is what you're saying. It's not month to month. It's only week to week. We'll probably see William Carlson again.
Week to week, you'll probably see William Carlson again. If he continues not to score, maybe you won't see him much, but because we don't know how Peter DeBoer is going to do things as we move along. He'll be very interesting. I think there's a little honeymoon period coming in the middle. I don't know how much he'll change, but it's interesting. I can't, like, we think of the media stuff, like, what would he think of, like, those, you know, those crowded city national arenas? We hear he'll cancel a lot of practices. He'll cancel skates a lot of time on short notice. So that'll be great if, like, there's 500 people at City National and someone just skates on and says, well, we're not doing anything today. But I don't know if he'll do that right away. I have a really strong feeling he will kind of go with the flow with everything for the rest of the year. But in the offseason, I imagine there'll be a lot of changes, whether it be with his staff and how things are run. I just have a feeling, talking to guys who covered him, what he does is not necessarily what we've seen from Gerard Gallant. I don't think Peter DeBoer, I mean, he's been in it long enough, so I don't think he's going to change very much. But I do think he'll just get through this season, try to take them as far as he can, and then in the offseason kind of say, okay, this is kind of how I want things run.
Based on the way he acted with the media yesterday, we've renamed him from Prickly Pete to Peppy Pete.
Yeah, that guy, whether it be the playoffs the last 2 years or regular season games, like, we were laughing because I'm like, okay, yesterday that guy laughed like four times and I'd never seen that guy laugh. Now, mostly as we said yesterday, it was all Shang Ping's fault, but if you take Shang Ping out of the equation, I still had never seen that guy laugh. And like yesterday he was like a stand-up guy. I'm like, okay, there's no way this dude's this guy. I mean, you know, we'll see in like a month from now, but yesterday he was fine. And you know, he kind of made fun of himself because he had some good lines, like in the morning session. He's like, the morning press conference is, I'm going to give Ryan Reeves a hug. And then last night they said, did you give him a hug? He goes, yeah, but I didn't return it, or I didn't hug him. And he laughed. And so he was fine yesterday. Like I said, if he wasn't going to be fine yesterday in an introductory and then after a win, he'll never be fine. So I imagine today he'll be on the ice with them for the first time. He said he's looking forward to that because he wants to practice. And I'm sure he'll be fine for the next, you know, foreseeable future. I think he'll use the week off to get his staff together and see what he wants to do, lines and everything, and lines and strategy. But for now, I think they're just trying to get to the break and kind of try to win these last few if they can.
It's Ed Graney live from Montreal as the Golden Knights get ready for the Canadiens. Take place, dropping the puck, 4 o'clock on Fox Sports Las Vegas tomorrow afternoon. All right, what other lineup changes do you think you might even foresee as he kind of tinkers with things before the All-Star break, or do you think it'll be status quo until then?
Yeah, I think it'll be status. I mean, he won, so I mean, the coaches are weird, and I'm sure he loves that he started off with a win. I mean, I don't think all of a sudden John Merrill's going to come back in at this point. I mean, he specifically talked about Haig. Last night he brought Haig up.
Yes, he did.
So I think he liked how he played. He said he's a really good young player. And no, I think Stevenson will stay where he's at. I mean, don't mess with it. He had the shorthanded last night, which I think was really good for him. You know, I think Stevenson's solid. I don't know in the long run if you're in a first or second round playoff series if he can get by with that, but they don't have to worry about that now. I don't think he'll make any changes. What do they have? Montreal and then Boston and then that's it.
Yep.
I mean, there's no reason. I think he's gonna really. Put it this way, if the assistant coaches had plans for their week off, I think those plans are, they just went from the Caribbean to City National because I think this guy is going to use that week and really go over everything that he wants to kind of implement when they get back from the break. So I'd be shocked if he, now, other than that, they might play. Here's the thing, we don't know yet when Fleury will take his time off, his game off, because of the All-Star missing it. So if Fleury tells us today, because they are in Montreal where he's from, and we know his dad passed and his family's here, a lot of people are thinking he could play tomorrow and then not go to Boston and just stay here, or he'll go to Boston and then he'll take the first game off back. So that's kind of the only real lineup change I would see. Like, when will Subban play?
Play him all the time. He's been better than Fleury.
Yeah. Well, if it was up to Jared Justice, he would like be the coach.
You don't want Jared Justice making the decisions for this team?
Yeah. I'd actually like Jared Justice to make the decisions for this team. He'd be a much better interview.
Everybody would be on steroids.
Especially like on Thursdays when he's like drinking and stuff. It would actually be fun to cover Jared Justice.
I think Jared would mandate all of his players take steroids.
Yes, exactly. Jared, instead of like lining up for suits when the tailor comes in, Jared would have them lining up for shots. Come on, get in. Come on, get your shot. Let's go.
Well, Ed, it's been a magical journey as you've been in both Ottawa and Montreal.
You know what a magical journey is, Mr. Baker? A magical journey is when you book a plane in a last minute notice and your plane home goes from Ottawa to Toronto to Calgary to Vegas, and you get an email this morning from Air Canada saying, yeah, that part from Toronto to Calgary, we're just going to cancel that because we don't have enough planes. Good luck to you. So, I mean, that's the magical part of the journey when they just leave you like, and it's like, wait a minute, what does that mean? And you call Air Canada, and they're like, you can stay on hold. The wait is 2.5 hours.
Oh, my God. So what does that
There's mean? Your journey.
Do you have any way to get home?
I might be living in Toronto on Sunday. Like, I might just get to Toronto, and then they'll look at me and say, we cannot get you home, so... I'm hoping they'll like reroute me, but that's the magical journey here. I think the car when we pulled in said 19 below Celsius. So, you know, it's all magic and butterflies out here, brother.
Oh, the metric system, magic, and Ed Greeny live in Montreal. Brother, we thank you very much, and we hope to see you on Monday. We're not really sure, but we're going to put odds on it.
Yes, beware, Tyler. There's a chance I'm never coming home. So, and it will make the Twitter guy with 18 followers very happy.
Yeah.
See you later.
That's my burner account. Be careful now. Thank you, Ed Greeny, live from Montreal. Make sure you check the game out. Fox Sports Las Vegas at 4 p.m. Golden Knights Insiders will be live at Twin Peaks in Henderson. It's Tyler and Clay on a Friday. When we come back, we'll go over some news and notes of the day. And at 9:30, we want your phone calls, 364-1100. We'll play Weekend Bankroll for the conference championships next.
It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
At 9:30, we'll take your calls. You can get into the contest, Weekend Bankroll. We got Chris Angel tickets for you from Planet Hollywood Mind Freak 2020. Tickets are available now at Ticketmaster.com, and we have your passes Wednesday through Sunday. All you got to do is call the number 364-1100, and you get in. You got to beat Tyler and I. Shouldn't be too hard. Got conference championships, and we'll do UNLV basketball. A preemptive strike. We're actually going to make our own lines here. 3.5.
3.5? You are getting way too confident.
Money's coming in on UNLV.
Money's coming in.
UNLV, New Mexico
Clay Baker
on Saturday.
Sportsbook is taking bets on UNLV.
Taking the money. I'm using the money in my wallet for this thing, which is zero. But let's get into some crazy story. And you brought this up the other day, and we didn't get a chance to get into it yesterday, but Red Bull Leipzig has now turned everybody upside down over there, because if you just needed to hate another team for another reason, it might be this team.
Yeah, so there's a soccer team in Germany. It actually kind of reminds me of the Golden Knights. This is as close to as the Golden Knights story as you can get in soccer, because in soccer, it's promotion and relegation. You don't have expansion teams that you just basically buy your way into the league. But Red Bull, the company Red Bull, owns a couple of soccer teams across the world. They own one in Major League Soccer. But they went 10 years ago and bought a team in the fifth division of German soccer. And in 10 years, they've risen from fifth division to the first division, and they're currently leading the Bundesliga in Germany. They've been in the Champions League. They are suddenly a very good team in Germany, and Germany's been a country that's been dominated by just two teams, Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich, for basically the last 10, 20 years.
They've just been shutting everything down. Yeah. It's them and them alone.
So to have another team in there is surprising, because nobody else has really done that in the Bundesliga. But what's fascinating about it is that Red Bull basically bought their way into having a good team. They bought a team in the fifth division, changed its name, and in 10 years have gone from fifth division to best team in the league. And so what's fascinating about it is apparently everybody in Germany hates this team, because they view it as Red Bull literally buying its way into having a great team. And so what is interesting in Germany is they actually have like measures in place to prevent companies from owning teams. Like, they want individuals to own the team. So a company can't own more than 50%. So Red Bull owns exactly 49.9% of this team, but they have a little bit of control over who the other owners are. Like, they made sure that they had other owners in place that they liked. You also can't have a company name as the team name. So the official name of this team is RB Leipzig. The RB,
standing for Red Bull,
should be Red Bull, but in actuality, they say it stands for Rosin Ball Sport. That's the official name, Rosin Ball Sport Leipzig. So it's RB Leipzig. Everybody knows that Red Bull owns the team, but that's not officially what it stands for. And you're not allowed to have a company logo as your team logo. But if you go and look, they have the two bulls that are sort of charging each other at the sun, just like the Red Bull logo is.
They have the sun in the background and the two bulls charging against each other.
But they modified the bulls so that they're not the same. So, like, Red Bull completely skirted, like, all these rules just barely so that they can own this team, and now they might have the best team. And the reason I compare it to the Golden Knights is I feel like there was a lot of hatred for the Golden Knights because after they were good in year one, the claims from other hockey fans were, well, the NHL wanted you to be good, and look at all these good players they gave you in the expansion draft and blah, blah, blah. In reality, people just hate success.
They don't like it. In fact, the Leipzig itself is known as like the New Berlin. So everyone who's like, in Germany already hates what Leipzig's all about, that they've allowed a lot of corporations to come in and make that one sleepy little church city into this like very hipster and D-bag friendly city nobody likes them in the first place. And now they have an even faker soccer team.
So what you're telling me is that RB Leipzig, the soccer team, is a just perfect symbol of what Leipzig is as a city? Just bought by corporations.
It's going hand in hand. Like they're just like, this is like the scourge of Germany, right? Like even Germans, like hardcore Germans, are now totally offended at Leipzig now. And if you are a Leipzig fan, that means you're probably not a fan of soccer.
I just want Red Bull to buy Las Vegas Lights FC so they can finally be good for once.
What's the chances of that?
Not very good because they own a MLS team in New York, so right. I don't think they're interested in any other U.S. teams.
It's too bad because they sell a lot of Red Bull in this town. I mean, Red Bull is extremely popular. They do a lot of units here, and that it might fit actually in like the overall sense of things.
I will say, I can't remember the company, but Lights FC just announced a new sponsor that is an energy drink. So maybe they'll eventually buy the team, and it'll be like Monster Energy FC.
Could you imagine how great that would be? The wars now, the energy drink wars. Real quick, we still don't know the simple battery warrant for Odell Beckham Jr. Did you see this video where he slapped a slightly elderly security guard who was trying to tell people to stop smoking cigars in the locker room?
Yeah, smacks him on the butt during the national championship celebration.
Just a quick little, nothing like, heavy. Just a little, hey, get your attention, a little, hey, what's up, you know? We're in a locker room. Everyone's jumping around. If it was a pro locker room, they'd be spraying champagne all over the place. What did this cop think?
Yeah, I mean, these are the same
cops. The
security
guard was out of control with
this. These are the same ones that were in there to try to tell LSU players to stop smoking cigars after winning the national championship. And it's a strange line of, okay, like they're trying to like follow the rules of what's supposed to be happening at the Superdome, and it's supposed to be non-smoking, but at the same time it's like, yeah, they just won the national championship, let's relax a little bit. So it's,
we can relax.
Yeah, you'd like to think that's what it was, but I do find it funny that they like put a warrant out for his arrest for this, and like I don't think there's any jail time associated with the crime that they're accusing him of. Like, he just have to pay a fine. So it's literally the police just saying, hey, we just need to drag his name through the mud a little bit by putting in a warrant out for his arrest for this.
If it wasn't hard enough for LSU to deal with the OBJ payments being made on the field, it now has to go to this. Like, will OBJ ever be allowed to another LSU event ever?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They got to love that, right?
I mean, now they have to deal with, like, the addressing the situation with the cops and all that. And OBJ say he is now, like, working with the security officers, and he's trying to make amends and cooperating with everyone. But
Ed Orgeron definitely doesn't care. He definitely doesn't care. Odell Beckham is welcome back whenever he can. That is a recruiting advantage. You got Odell Beckham handing out. Ed Orgeron is going to take the video of him handing out cash into recruits' homes when he recruits in the future and say, look, come to LSU. This will be you in 4 years.
What if there was a celebratory, like, a big celebration in the Sam Boyd locker rooms at Sam Boyd Stadium, and people were smoking cigars? Would anyone notice the difference? Would it be from the overall, you know?
Well, it'd be very dangerous because those locker rooms are very, very small. So,
I know.
So the smoke would just sit and it'd be very dangerous.
Yes, but the stench that comes out of it, I mean, it would
help. It would help.
It would deaden some of it.
Yeah.
This is an improvement.
Upgrades around here. This is nice.
I like these air fresheners. It's the Press Box Morning Show with Tyler and Clay. Oh, we got to take a break because we got to get your phone calls. 364-1100. Call in. We'll play Weekend Bankroll. 364-1100. Want your thoughts on the conference championships. And we'll throw in the Rebel game as well as a side kicker. 364-1100. 364-1100. It's Weekend Bankroll next with Tyler and Clay here on...
Sure, it's about picking winners. But you need to manage your money, too. It's time for your Weekend Bankroll. Brought to you by Dollar Loan Center.
Oh, Weekend Bankroll tonight. We got Chris Angel tickets for all the contestants here on Weekend Bankroll. We got three lined up, David, Chris, and Michael. All you got to do is beat Tyler and I against the spread or totals for the two conference championship games from the Westgate. Here are your numbers. Green Bay at San Francisco. 7.5 is the number for the spread. Niners are favored. 46.5 is the total. Tennessee at Kansas City. 7 for the Chiefs, 53 is the total, according to the Westgate Superbook. And we will throw in UNLV, a mythical hypothetical line that we just came up with after our research and projections have come through. We say UNLV 3.5-point favorites.
3.5, you keep pushing it up.
I know, well, money's coming in.
You're going to get burned, Clay.
Dangle, dangle. We want that money going the other way against New Mexico. Over at the Thomas Mack on Saturday afternoon. We got our phones lined up. You got to pick a big, middle, and small pick for these contests, 60, 30, and 10. And you got to beat Tyler and I because we're misogynistic and we want to be beaten on a regular basis. Our first caller is David. David, good morning. How are you, brother?
Good. How are you doing?
Hey, good, thanks. All right, so you got the got your numbers keyed in. You got your teams that you like. You feel confident in this one?
Yes. Let me get Titans.
All right, you like Titans plus 7.5, or plus 7, rather?
Yeah,
Okay, you got it.
And then 49ers.
Ooh, 49ers as your middle pick. That's minus 7.5, gotcha.
All right. I'll take UNLV.
Woo! Minus 3.5. That's a gambling man, David. I love it, brother. Very good, brother. All right, hey, who do you like for the Super Bowl?
I don't know, Titans most likely. That's probably what's going to happen.
Beautiful, man. I like it. I'm holding you to it, Dave. Good luck, man.
See ya.
Titans in there.
Titans,
did you expect Titans?
No.
I think that's
especially
really
not as a Super Bowl pick. That's the really surprising part.
My goodness. All right, let's go to our third contestant. Oh, Michael not on the line. Oh, unfortunately. Michael, you missed your date with Destiny. Give us a call back at 364-1100. All right, I'll tell you what. I give you my picks.
All right, we're ready.
All right, I'm going UNLV minus 3.5 for the little fella.
UNLV, all right. You are all about this 3.5. So wait, you made it higher than you needed to and then picked it anyway? You could have made that UNLV minus 1 and then picked it.
It's the Coleman factor. I'm starting to buy in. After we talked with Mike Romano, I'm like, you know what? This could be a runaway. I'm burying the UNLV 3.5 mythically in my own sports book, followed by Titans plus 7. As the middle fella. And your big guy. We're going Green Bay. We're going dog heavy. 7.5, plus 7.5 for my major play. I feel kind of confident.
You feel confident in Green Bay.
I do.
That's the Lions fan in you talking, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's absolutely hatred towards
I know,
that.
But
there's
like
emotion being played, isn't
you're
it?
You're so used to Green Bay beating you up that you're like, yeah, of course they're going to cover 7.5.
What if you lost 24 out of 26 matchups to Green Bay? Would you feel like a little different?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little biased?
Bad right. relationship there. All right, what give me Tennessee, Kansas City under 53. That'll be my little pick. So I kind of feel like the Titans might keep that one low scoring. Kind of going to double down on that and Tennessee plus 7. We got too many Tennessee plus 7s on the board, but Tennessee plus 7 as the middle, and then the big one, I'm the opposite of you. San Francisco minus 7.5.
Tyler's hard and strong. All right, we got one more contestant. Chris is on the line. Chris, what do you got for your little guy?
A lower guy, I think I'm going to go with the Titans.
All right, very happy play. Plus 7, you got them in KC. All right, what's your middle man?
I'm going with the Packers.
G-Bay, Packers at 7.5, plus 7.5. Very nice, good value. All right, what's the big daddy?
And I got to go with UNLV.
Man.
We're on a roll there.
Yeah! This town is alive. Minus 3.5. Chris, I
you
love
got
it, brother.
It.
Hey, Chris, who do you like matching up in the Super Bowl and winning?
Packers and Titans. I think I'm going to have to go with the Packers.
Brutal. I love it, man. This is good. I love that. That would be absolute destruction for the sports books. But I think I like your thinking, man. Chris, you're into chaos, and I love you for it. Good job.
All right. Thank you.
You put UNLV too high, and both people that call in take UNLV, and you take UNLV. How did nobody take New Mexico?
Like, there's no respect for the Lobos anymore.
Apparently not.
Like, Paul Weir's, this has become a disaster for Paul Weir's not even getting respect from the public.
That's right. Well, Paul Weir. I don't know if he deserves it yet.
Probably doesn't deserve it. It's brought to you by Weekend Bankroll with Chris Angel live at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Mind Freak is live there. Tickets for performances Wednesday through Sunday are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. And we want to implore you that this Sunday, the place you should be is the Westgate Superbook inside the International Theater. It's called Football Central. Free to get in, non-smoking environment, don't have to pay for parking, and they got everything there. They not only even have the remote betting station, so you don't have to wait 1,000 deep in a sports book. They'll have it right there for your very good needs. They got food and drink specials inside the showroom bar and kitchen. It's all there for you. Get down there this Sunday. All the madness begins around 12 o'clock when they open the doors for Football Central. When we come back, we'll go over more news and notes in and around Las Vegas and touch on a little bit on Conor McGregor, UFC 246, live at Vegas this weekend.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing on a summer night. It's pajamas with feet and everybody over for Sunday dinner. And that old stuffed chair in the living room you just can't get rid of. This is why you work a second job. This is why you learn to fix things yourself, so you could save on repairs. Because home is your place, your memories, your family sleeping in their own beds at night. And that is why we want to help. We are making Home Affordable, a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. And now even more options are available. Call 888-995-HOPE today. That's 888-995-HOPE, or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Technically Correct comes up at 10 o'clock with Tyler Bischoff, who I'm very grateful is here with me for the last 2 days. He's been dealing with a lot here. Getting up early.
Oh.
Dealing with me. It's more than any man could really handle.
I'm not in Canada. And I get to talk into a microphone without Jared sitting across from me. This is wonderful.
This is wonderful. The thing is, we have the holiday party tonight, and Tyler's not going to talk to me at all because he's had enough. He's had like 6 straight hours. It's almost like a prison sentence.
Also, because I'll be asleep.
I get to meet the little lady again today. It's kind of nice. Once a year, it's kind of nice.
Yes, I hide her from everybody here, but I have to bring her to the holiday party.
You have to, too.
Yes.
Because if not, look what will happen. Last year, you had Jesse Granger to kind of buffer you for me.
I did.
And
I
now,
did.
What are you going to do?
No Jesse Granger this year. He's in Canada, too.
Sorry, we've let you down.
Yeah, I really need you to buffer me from Jared, though. That's really the key here.
There's no way. I'm actually going to sit in the corner and watch it all go down because he's got boots on already.
He does. Jared Justice is already wearing boots and a flannel shirt. Our holiday party is in, like, what, 10 hours, something like that, and he's already ready to go because it's a hoedown theme, and Jared Justice is dressed as much like a cowboy as he possibly could.
He could put the boots in the car, in the trunk, and then put them on for the... No. He's going to go on 12 hours. He's going to die with his boots on. He could actually have those things on for almost an 18-hour time period.
Yeah, that would imply the putting the boots in the car and changing would imply that Jared ever thinks about something for more than 6 seconds. Whatever his first thought is what he goes with. So when he woke up this morning, he thought, I don't get to go home before the holiday party. I have to wear my cowboy boots now. And that was it. There was no thought of, I could wear more comfortable shoes for the entirety of the day and then throw on the cowboy boots to go to the hoedown.
You're from Mississippi. Have you ever worn cowboy boots?
No, I have not.
Do you know how uncomfortable they can get after a while?
They seem terrible.
Yeah. And you walk around.
They look terrible.
Well, I mean, it's like, do they look great? I mean, like even like the expensive ones, like the Lucchese leather, they have like these old dimpled leather. they don't look like they're as expensive as they are. They're really like almost like $700, $1,000 a pair at the lower rung.
Ridiculous. If you're wearing cowboy boots, you better be doing something with a horse.
You should be doing something, or you better be doing line dancing or something. That's you're clicking your heels for a reason.
Or they better be extremely comfortable, and I'm just not aware that they're extremely comfortable. Like, that's the only reason to wear ridiculous shoes is they're extremely comfortable.
You said you're from Mississippi, but you don't own any pieces of camo.
No.
Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. See, I wasn't born in Mississippi.
Oh,
none of my family's from Mississippi, but I lived there from first grade until I graduated college.
Oh, so which is a lifetime.
I am from Mississippi, but like, we're not Mississippians necessarily. So like, a whole lot of the culture of Mississippi is like, whoa, what's happening here? Because like, my family still said pop. Like, nobody says pop in the South.
They don't. They say it in Michigan because we're, like, isolated. We're just, like, further redneckers. All the rednecks have moved up there so they can get jobs because you don't have to...
cold rednecks.
You don't have to write your name to do a drill press. You know? So, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, but no, there's a lot of things about Mississippi that I like to distance myself from for obvious reasons. But, yeah, I am from Mississippi despite not being a Mississippian. That's why there's no accent either.
There's not a hint of accent. Do you have a hint of Western wear that we're going to see tonight? Like
no, I wasn't planning on wearing anything Western wear. I had no plans to dress up for the hoedown.
Come on.
But apparently I need to because Jared's already in full costume.
I was just going to say, Jared's outdoing you here and you can't have that.
Maybe
on your conscience.
I can dress like Vegas Vic.
Oh, man. Think about that. Vegas Vic, that would be good. Those are good colors for you.
Need a little bandana to go around the neck.
You got to wear the hat.
Yeah, and the hat, obviously.
They don't make hats in my size.
They don't make hats in my size.
I don't think they do. I mean, you don't have hats to fit a bull. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, look at this cabeza, man. Like, there's not enough material left in the day. All right, real quick, before we get out of here, UFC 246, it's Conor against Cowboy Cerrone. Earlier this week, he was talking, you know, he has these, like, really sedate interviews, which I don't like.
Yeah, what's happening? Why is Conor McGregor not throwing things?
Ariel Helwani suggests that he hasn't drank in a month or two. All right, that could be it. But one thing's for sure, it's almost as disarming as seeing Pete DeBoer smile. is seeing Conor McGregor sedate and sitting, you know, quietly with his hands, like, folded.
Why, though? Like, the whole idea of UFC is you've got to, like, sell the fight, and, like, being a big personality is almost as important as being actually good at the fighting part of it. So why is it sedated? Is he high enough on the totem pole that like he knows he doesn't need that? Or it could simply be as naive as like he's turning his life around, right? He's trying to make better choices in his life outside of fighting, and that's just led to him being more sedated, which I don't know. I guess that's good, and we shouldn't be disappointed in that, but it is disappointing that he's not throwing things.
When you say stuff like that, UNLV is just dumped up to a -4 because we're very idealistic in this room. UFC needs him to be around for at least two more fights this year, right? I figured they want to start him in January so they could get him going in July and then maybe wrap it around in December. What do you think the chances of that are?
He could fight three times?
Well, is it possible? Because they need some ROI. They need a return on investment, and Conor's their only way out of this thing.
I mean, that would be fun if you get three fights out of him in 1 year. That would be excellent. I mean, obviously he could like break every bone in his body in a fight and then okay, yeah, he's not doing anything for 6 months. But yeah, I mean, no, if you can get three fights out of him, is that what people think is going
to
happen here?
I would have to think that they're hoping for something
yeah,
like that.
No, that'd be excellent.
Because he keeps talking, I want to fight Manny Pacquiao.
Oh yeah, spring on Manny Pacquiao. Pull him out of the Philippines government.
I wouldn't walk across the street to see that fight. I mean, can you imagine us doing this all over again? And what kind of payout would he get? Does he actually think he's going to get that Floyd Connor payout with Pacquiao? Yeah, I mean,
people would care, wouldn't they?
People would care this time.
Yeah, I mean, it's... They would, right? Like, people know who Manny Pacquiao is, and they know who Conor... Like, they would care. We like watching people fight each other. We like watching people beat each other up, especially when we've at least heard of the two.
I don't think we could ever survive another exhibition like that. Tyler, again, I'm grateful for your time. Thank you, man, for coming in on short notice, and I appreciate you doing the show.
No problem.
Technically Correct is coming up next at 10 o'clock right here on ESPN Las Vegas. For Tyler, I'm Clay. We'd like to thank you for listening and check it out online, our podcast page at lvsportsnetwork.com and on iTunes and on Stitcher. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, everyone.
The Chiefs host the Titans, followed by the Packers matching up with the 49ers in Santa Clara with kickoff on Sunday at noon on ESPN Las Vegas, 1100 AM and 100.9 FM.
Talk to Aaron Taylor,
the real estate guy.
Hey, Vegas, Clay Baker here with you.